If you have your bulletin, you can see that I'm speaking to you on this subject, the benefits of trouble. And of course, we've got some trouble coming our way this weekend, and that's what Peter addresses in his little epistle called 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. I hope that you'll turn there. I hope that you'll keep your Bible open on your lap or to your side, as my sermon points will be coming from this text. Actually, the inspiration for this text came back a long time ago when one of our teenagers, Claire Yeager, inspired my Easter text. And I got to looking at the whole passage, and God brought me to the subsequent verses, verses 6 through 9. We were in verses 3 through 5 on Easter. And so I'm just kind of finishing up that Easter thought. And on the heels of that glorious resurrection passage, we have this encouragement about how we as believers can be blessed in the midst of difficulty. And so I hope you'll keep your Bible open on your lap or to your side, as my sermon and its points will be coming from the text. It was January 21st. 1963, and the most popular TV series by far was the black and white Andy Griffith Show. And on that particular date, they showed their season 3, episode 17, episode entitled High Noon in Mayberry. And many of you who are Andy Griffith fans will remember that this show took on a little bit different tenor from most other shows. It was filled with suspense and drama. It started in the opening scene with Sheriff Andy Taylor getting a suspicious letter in the mail while he was in the sheriff's office. He opened the letter with Barney standing over his shoulder, and he read this troubling message. Seemed that an ex-con named Luke Comstock, whom he had wounded in the leg during a bank robbery attempt, had now a bad limp that he had endured during his incarceration and after his imprisonment. The letter says that the ex-con Luke Comstock was coming to Mayberry, and to quote the script exactly, it says, he wanted to see Andy for a long time to set some things straight between them. As you can imagine, Andy isn't sure what all of this means, and it gives him some cause for concern. Later on in the episode, Barney runs into Andy's house and gives him some news. He tells him that a hard-looking ex-con, who was in fact Luke Comstock, was seen entering Mayberry, coming into town on the bus. And he had a distinct limp. And one more thing, Barney said, he was carrying a large shotgun case. The phone rings shortly after that. Andy answers it, and it's Luke Comstock on the other end. He wants to know if he can come over and talk to Andy. Andy immediately jumps into action, not knowing what the confrontation will bring, if there will be ugliness associated with it. And so he asks his Aunt Bee to take Opie, his son, to Clara, his neighbor's house, while he has this visit with this ex-con. The script follows in this way, and I quote, "Opie, Pa, are you scared of the trouble that's coming? Andy, what makes you think trouble's coming? Opie, you're sending me and Aunt Bee over to Miss Clara's. Andy, oh well, I just got some business to talk over. Opie, are you scared, Pa? Andy, oh well, I'm a little nervous. Opie, is it your first time? Andy said, no, I've been scared a lot of times. And Opie says, really, Pa? Gosh, you sure couldn't tell it. I believe Andy exhibited the quality that Isaiah the prophet talks about in his 26th chapter and 3rd verse, which says, and I quote, "God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him." A good word of encouragement for each one of us who have trouble coming our way this weekend. Yes, we are all going through trouble, public and sometimes private trouble. You might be currently experiencing something that really is difficult. If you're not currently experiencing something that's difficult, you will. That's the promise of our life experience and even of the Bible. And it could be that you're sitting here today and you've just come through a time of trouble and you're battered and bruised by it all. The Bible says in the book of Job, chapter 14, verse 1, and I quote, "Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." If your faith is in Christ, and that's a key point, because so many times we put our faith in our difficult circumstances. That's what's clearly in view in front of us, and Christ just kind of fades into the background. Our focus is on our situation and not on our Savior. But if your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, He will see you through the troubling times, and even more than that, He will bless you. That's what 1 Peter 1, 6 and 9 is all about. The Apostle Peter was writing to Christians who were experiencing intense persecution and terrible suffering. He tells them that there are, as the title of my message goes, benefits for their trouble. What is the first benefit? It's seen right there in verse number 6 and in your notes. Superb celebrations. And I know what you're thinking. Are you crazy? Well, just follow the word of God. Don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. Verse number 6, as Peter writes to these folks that are surrounded by trouble and says, "In this you greatly rejoice." That expression, "greatly rejoice," is one word in the original language. We'll come back to it, but that's where we get the superb celebration from. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That word "various" in the original language of the Bible means multicolored. Multicolored trials. What is the apostle getting at when he talks about trials that are multicolored? Well, some of you can identify with that. Some of you are in a business, or maybe even in your personal finances, that are filled with red ink, and you're concerned. You don't know how you're going to make it to the end of the month. Some of you, the color of trouble that describes your situation today is not red, but pink. Well, maybe you've not been fired yet, but the rumblings are you're fixing to lose your job. And you've been hearing it for weeks and months now, and you're surprised that the hammer hasn't fallen yet, and you'll receive that pink slip. And you haven't told your family. You don't know what you're going to do. For some of us, the color of our trouble is blue, the color of depression and despondency and discouragement. As you sit here in this house of worship today, you have a dark blue thick cloud of depression hanging over you. Oh, we couldn't tell by looking at your face today. You're so finely dressed and you have a smile on your face. You sang the songs so well, but deep down in the darkest recesses of your soul, there is a blueness that you wonder, can it ever be healed? Can it ever be made right? For us who live here in Noonan, there's a different color that we're worried about this coming weekend. It's white. The white supremacists who will become in their white robes and causing all kinds of disruption to our city. It's interesting that that word for multicolored, various, is used again toward the end of the Bible in the book of James. James chapter 1 and verse number 2 speaks of that kind of trouble. It says so clearly that we should count it all joy when we fall into various, there's that word, various, meaning multicolored trials. Now, what's James' instruction? When you come into those multicolored trials, count it all joy. Well, that's a parallel thought back here to verse 6 in our text today, because it says that we should rejoice exceedingly. As a matter of fact, when it says greatly rejoice, it is talking about that single word in the original language of the Bible that means exceeding joy. Or in my words, a superb celebration. Now you've got a choice. You can sit around and throw your own personal pity party about the troubles that you're experiencing, or you can rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to say this again. To rejoice is a choice. It's up to you. You've got the choice. You can make the decision to rejoice in the midst of your trouble, but misery is an option. You don't have to be miserable. And I love the old chorus that says, it's amazing what praising can do. I don't worry when things go wrong. Jesus fills my heart with a song. It's amazing what praising can do. If you will just praise the Lord, if you will just rejoice, if you would just throw a superb celebration in the middle of your heartache, God will melt away and dissipate all those clouds of concern in your life. At the same time this rally is going to be going on at Greenville Street Park, you want to know where I'm going to be? I'm going to be at St. Smyrna Baptist Church, one of our black churches who has invited our entire community. And we're going to have a wonderful time of rejoicing at that unity rally. I'm going to share the gospel and the hope for lost souls there in that service. And it's going to be ended with a great supper. 1,000 barbecue sandwiches have already been donated. Our church is going to participate by donating food and drink. And you'll want to be there to show the devil, I'm not down about all this. I am throwing a superb celebration. I am rejoicing greatly in the Lord in the midst of this time of trouble. Yes, the benefits of trouble are not only superb celebrations, but also stronger character. Look at the first part of verse 7 there. Look at what it says about our troubles. It says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise and honor of glory of the revelation of Jesus Christ. A lot of times we think that we're weakened through our difficulties. The Christian whose faith and vision is in Christ is made stronger. He has the opportunity to grow more in his Christ-like character. And that's what Paul talked about over in the book of Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 3 and 4, when he said, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance what? Character, and character hope. Our world needs hope, and Christians sitting in this building today need hope to see beyond the dark haze of trouble. And that hope is not realized until we develop Christ-like character, which only comes through the heat of persecution and suffering. The Apostle Paul, perhaps the greatest Christian that ever walked the face of the earth, had trouble. He described it as a thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what it was, but we do know that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he sought the Lord to remove it from him. Not once, not twice, but three times. You talk about a guy that could pray in accordance with God's will, it had to be the Apostle Paul. But God said, no, no, no. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul ends up that encounter with these words in verse 10 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Is he mad? No. He takes pleasure in reproaches and needs, even in persecutions. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When the refiner's fire and its heat builds up its intensity against you, you won't melt away. You'll be made stronger in the end. That's one of the benefits of trouble. But not only that, not only superb celebrations and also stronger character, but if you finish up verse 7 carefully and weigh every word, you'll see the second coming is in view also. Reading again verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 1, it says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by the fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory. Now look at this. When's this going to happen? At the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is that talking about? When is the revelation of Jesus Christ going to happen? Well, think about the last book of the Bible. What is it called? The revelation of Jesus Christ. And what Peter is speaking about here is the return of Jesus. He is speaking about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And at his return, at his revelation, Christ is going to reward his followers who have faithfully come through life's troubles and trials. I, for one, am looking forward to that day when Jesus will set everything right. There will be no more hate. There will be no more violence. There'll be no more injustice because we'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But quickly, let's go on to verse 8, where we see the fourth benefit of trouble is described by Peter as he is speaking to these people who had so much heartache, so much persecution in their life, where we see sightless confirmation. There in verse 8, it says, whom having not seen, you love. Speaking of Jesus. Never have seen him. No one here in our building has seen the physical Jesus with your own physical eyes. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. It is interesting that since we have not seen Christ, we have one of two choices. We can believe in him or we can doubt him. And the great majority of people that I'm preaching to today have made the most important decision in life, and that is to receive the love and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, even though you've never seen him. You've heard a preacher talk about him. You've heard a Sunday school teacher open a Bible and teach about him. But even though unseen, it is confirmed in your own heart through childlike faith and trust that he is real, that he is here, and that he will deliver you in the end. When Jesus was speaking to doubting Thomas over in John 20, 29, he said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. As a matter of fact, the definition of faith carries those two elements in it in Hebrews 11:1 when it says this, and I quote, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I hope that you have that kind of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, it's been confirmed in your heart through belief that he is real, he is there, he will see you through these difficult times. Well, finally, the last benefit is saved Christians in verse number 9. Notice that word salvation right there in verse 9. It says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The last benefit of trouble for the believer is that it is saved Christians. And I know a lot of you are saying, is there any other kind of Christian? And the answer is, Yes. There are many different varieties of so-called Christians, and I'll put it in quotation marks. There are fake Christians. Our churches are filled with them. There are also what is popularly called cultural Christians. There are people that grow up here in this culture of the United States of America, which for so many generations has been known as a Christian nation, and by virtue of that fact, they think that they are a Christian because they were born in the United States of America. Well, I'm not sure how Christian our country is anymore. And just being a citizen of the USA does not make you a Christian. You must receive Jesus' love and forgiveness. There are some cultural Christians that sit in our pews on this very Sunday morning in churches all around us, and even in this building today, who think that they're a Christian just because they come to church. So I've told you many times before, coming to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than walking in McDonald's makes you a Big Mac. I've always followed that by saying walking in your garage doesn't make you a Chevrolet either. So just your coming here and sitting on a pew, opening up the Bible and singing the songs does not make you a Christian. You must have come to that point in your life when you, by faith, have received the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there are some people coming to our community this next weekend who call themselves Christians, but they're not, because they hate. And you say, well, how can you be so judgmental, preacher? Well, because of what the Bible says. I mean, don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. Over in 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 through 15, it says this. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. In other words, I know that I have eternal life. I've been saved because I love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. That is speaking of spiritual death. That is speaking of a Christless hell. He goes on in verse 15. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. If you hate and call yourself a Christian, that is a contradiction that the Bible does not tolerate or understand. Back to Mayberry. Luke Comstock, in the darkness of night, comes over to Andy Griffith's house. They stand toe to toe in his living room, and Andy, for the first time, finds out what Luke Comstock's intentions were. He did not come to harm Andy. He came to thank him for putting him on the road to rehabilitation, leading to his becoming a productive member of society. Jesus can save the absolute worst of us. Yes, even the evildoers who are coming to Noonan this weekend. We should pray for their salvation. I want to tell you about a pastor that I served with in my last association in Florida. He was a pastor of First Baptist Church, Geneva, Florida. And his testimony was that he used to be one of the worst KKK members in that part of Central Florida. But you know what happened? God saved him. And God called him to be a pastor. And now he shares with his congregation and anyone that will sit long enough to listen, that Jesus is about love, not about hate. And he can redeem the worst of us. If God could redeem him, he can redeem these folks that are coming to Greenville Street Park. And if God can save them, he can save you too, if you'll put your trust in him. And I pray that you will, as we go to the Lord in prayer right now. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you now for this opportunity to say yes to you. Father, for that soul who has never been saved. I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Lord, for that one who is struggling with difficulties and doesn't know how they're going to make it through the end of the week, I pray that they would have a different perspective on their trouble and that they would see you're going to make them better through this fiery trial. Father, I pray for those that are looking for a church home, for someone they can link arms with and go through the difficult days and tests and trials that we have, and be encouraged by being in fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, as you move in our midst, we'll give you the praise for it all. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.